Sri Krishna. I welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 4th canto, 14th chapter, 24th verse onwards. Hare Krishna Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Well, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for joining and giving your valuable association and your time for this morning and enlightening us on this topic. Thank you, Prabhuji. Please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you very much for this opportunity. My humble obeisances to you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Can everybody hear clearly?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yes.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. So let us chant Mangalacharan first. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Mano Vrishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamhayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshakarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Kise Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। प्रे कृष्ण। सो वी विल बी स्टडिंग फोर वर्सेस टुडे फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 14 एंटाइटल्ड द स्टोरी ऑफ किंग वेना। द फोर वर्सेस दैट वी आर गोइंग टू स्टडी टुडे आर 24, 25, 26 एंड 27। सो किंग वेना इज स्पीकिंग वर्स नंबर 24। अवजानन्त्यमे मूढ़ा नृपरूपेणमीश्वरं नानुविन्दन्ति ते भद्रं इहलोके परत्र च। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। जय श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। सो महाराज वेना इज स्पीकिंग टू ऑल द ऋषिज एंड साधुज हु जस्ट इंस्ट्रक्टेड हिम अबाउट कृष्णा कॉन्शियसनेस एंड डिवोशनल सर्विस। महाराज वेना इज सेइंग दोज हु आउट ऑफ ग्रोस इग्नोरेंस डू नॉट वर्शिप द किंग हु इज एक्चुअली द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड एक्सपीरियंस हैप्पीनेस नाइदर इन दिस वर्ल्ड नॉर इन द वर्ल्ड आफ्टर डेथ। हरे कृष्णा। So just to give a little background, we have recently discussed the beautiful character and activities of Dhruva Maharaj. Then Maitreya Muni is describing to Vidur the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj. And Maharaj Anga is described, who is a very nice devotee of Krishna. And he has a son whose name is Vena. And Vena is a very demoniac person. He is very cruel, very harsh, very selfish, very egoistic. And even as a child, when Vena would play with his friends, he would engage them in some wrestling match or some play fighting. But in the fight, he would actually hurt them. And he would not only hurt them, he would kill them. He would murder his own friends. And because he was the son of the king, no strict action was taken against him. But his father, Maharaj Anga, he was so disturbed by the atrocious behavior of his own son. And this type of evil behavior continued. And as time went on, as Vena grew older and older, he became even more and more cruel. And he used to criticize everyone, he used to lie, he used to steal, he used to be physically violent and hurt others, kill others, murder. He had practically no good qualities. He was very, very evil. Finally, when Maharaj Anga grew old and he attained the appropriate age, he was so disgusted with his own son that out of frustration and out of sheer disgust, he just left the kingdom and went to the forest, renouncing everything. And then the ministers and the rishis in the kingdom, they were discussing what to do. Now the king has left, there is no proper ruler, and the rogues and thieves are becoming very powerful. So what should be done? The kingdom cannot be managed without a king. So naturally, the prince is Vena. He is coming in the line of Dhruva Maharaj. His father is such a great devotee, Maharaj Anga. So he has good blood. He has good vamsha, good inheritance. So there must be, you know, he must be capable. So somehow they suggested, although they knew that Vena was not, as far as, you know, his personality was concerned, he was not qualified to become the king. But still, because of his high birth, his family lineage, and the facilities that he had received growing up, it was decided that he should be made the next king. And Vena's mother also supported this proposal. And then, even against the advice of some of the ministers, this young prince, Vena, was made the next king. And when he became king, King Vena now had nobody to keep check and balance. There was nobody to correct him. There was nobody to control him. He became completely uncontrolled rascal, and he was terrorizing the entire kingdom. He told all the sadhus, all the rishis, all the devotees that all the yajnas, all the sacrifices, all the puja, everything should be offered to him. He considered himself the supreme, and he said everything should be offered to me, everything should be done for my pleasure. If I am pleased, then all good fortune will come to all of you. Because as your king, I am the supreme personality of Godhead. So, so in this way, there was utter chaos in the kingdom. The rogues and thieves ran away out of fear of Maharaj Vena. But Maharaj Vena himself became the biggest rogue and thief. And he was plundering the whole kingdom. Everything was meant for his own enjoyment. There was no worship of Lord Vishnu. Nothing. Everything he dovetailed, everything in his sense gratification, in his service, in his non-transcendental service. And finally, seeing that how everything was being ruined by this incompetent, unqualified king, the rishis and the sadhus and the devotees thought it was their duty to go to him and speak to him. Although they knew that he was so evil, so egoistic, that he would not listen to any good advice. But still, out of their duty, they went to King Vena, and they instructed him very, very nicely. In the preceding verses, he was instructed very nicely about the goal of life, about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, about the duties of a king. And he was told to listen to his advisors, listen to the sadhus, listen to the rishis, and act properly. But Maharaj Vena completely ignored the advice of these sadhus. In fact, he went against the advice. And now let us see what King Vena has to say to his sadhus of his kingdom, the rishis and his ministers. So he's saying, Ava jananti ami mudha. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ava jananti ma mudha. Manushim tanum ashrita. परम भावम अजानंतो मम अव्ययम अनुत्तमम. कृष्णा सेज दैट व्हेन आई कम एज अ ह्यूमन बीइंग मानुषम तनुम आश्रित अवजानंति माम मूढ़ा, द फूल्स द मूढ़ास दे आर नॉट एबल टू अंडरस्टैंड मी, दे कंसिडर मी टू बी ऑर्डिनरी ह्यूमन बीइंग. दे जस्ट सी दिस महाराज वेना इज यूजिंग द सेम वर्ड्स, इज यूजिंग द सेम फिलोसॉफी टू ग्लोरीफाई हिमसेल्फ एंड टू क्रिटिसाइज द डिवोटीज. ही सेज अवजानंति अमी मूढ़ा, दैट द फूल्स डोंट अंडरस्टैंड मी, द फूल्स डोंट अंडरस्टैंड मी, that I am the Nripa Rupina Ishwaram. I am the Ishwar, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nripa Rupina, in the form of the king. Nripa means king. And in this way he is concocting this completely wrong philosophy and using it for his own self-aggrandizement. Then he continues speaking. को यज्ञ पुरुषो नाम यत्र वो भक्ति ऋषि भ्रतिर स्नेह विदुराणाम यथा जारे पुयोषिताम. ट्रांसलेशन, यू आर सो मच डिवोटेड टू द डेमीगॉड्स, बट हु आर दे? इंडीड योर अफेक्शन फॉर दीज डेमीगॉड्स इज एग्जैक्टली लाइक द अफेक्शन ऑफ एन अनचेस्ट वुमन who neglects her married life and gives all attention to her paramour. Hare Krishna. So here he is saying, so again this example is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa and Sanatan. He says that if a lady really has a paramour who is more dear to her than her own life, then she will serve the husband very nicely so that the husband will not suspect the inner feelings of the wife. And in this way, the wife serves the husband very nicely but internally cultivates great love for the paramour. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was hinting to Rupa and Sanatan Goswami that you should serve the Nawab Hussain, the Nawab, very nicely so that he doesn't suspect your Krishna Bhakti. And internally, you should maintain great longing and great love for Krishna in Vrindavan. In this way, someday you will attain Vrindavan Dham and you will attain my service also. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this very nice message, very nice analogy, with a transcendental touch to it, to Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. And that same philosophy of the wife and the paramour outside marriage, the same analogy is used by Maharaj Vena to establish his false and completely concocted philosophy. So just see, my dear friends, we can see how if our mind is contaminated, if our heart is not clean, having access to the powerful Vedic philosophy can actually be very dangerous, because we can use the Vedic philosophy, twist and distort it for our own selfish purpose. It's so dangerous. Therefore, it is said that knowledge is very powerful. Knowledge gives us a lot of power, because if this knowledge is used properly, then it can take us back home, back to Godhead. But if this knowledge is used improperly, then we can not only destroy our life with it, but by preaching concocted false philosophy, we can destroy the lives of others. There are so many examples of this. In the Sri Sampradaya, we have the example of the king Kolatunga, how he and Chaturgram, his minister, who used to be a disciple of Quraysh, how he distorted the philosophy and considered Shivji to be independent of Lord Vishnu and greater than Lord Vishnu and became fanatic. Similarly, in the world today also, we see there are so many people who don't have the proper understanding of the Tattva Siddhanta, the philosophical truths they don't understand properly, and they develop some philosophy in their mind, they are completely convinced about it, and they become fanatical, and they start enforcing their fanatic philosophy. And this is seen even in spiritual circles. Even in spiritual circles, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, there were so many upper sampradayas. So many upper sampradayas. A dozen upper sampradayas. Upper sampradaya means they have upper siddhanta. They don't understand the proper siddhanta. They have some wrong philosophical conclusion. They stick to it like fanatics. And it causes great destruction. So many generations were affected because of this. Even today. But then when Bhakti Vinod Thakur came, he fought these upper sampradayas. And for that we are very grateful to him. So we can see clearly in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam that thousands and thousands of years ago, even in Satya Yuga, there were unqualified kings like Maharaj Vena. And how they would use the Vedic philosophy, distort it, and concoct some new upper siddhanta, preach it, and because they had the power of Vedic knowledge and they had the military power, they had the military strength with them, they could create great destruction. So combination of physical power, military power, and distorted Vedic knowledge or distorted philosophy is a very deadly combination. We see even in the case of Aurangzeb, just one generation after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how Aurangzeb, two generations after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how Aurangzeb, he also was a religious man, but he completely misunderstood his own scriptures. Chand Kazi understood after being explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chand Kazi also had very fanatic outlook towards life because of misunderstanding of dharma. But after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, Chand Kazi understood. And he surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he gave all protection to the Harinam Sankirtan movement for all generations to come in his family. But Aurangzeb completely misunderstood the philosophy. And he had military power. It's a deadly combination. So similarly, my dear friends, in our own life, as time goes by, we become more and more senior, we get more and more service opportunities, we get more and more responsibilities. Just by being around in Krishna consciousness, devotees start respecting us. Oh, you have been initiated for 5 years, you have been initiated for 10 years. Just by being around. So we have the power now, we have the influence over others, and if we don't have adequate inner purification, if we have not really understood what is Vaishnava etiquette, what is Vaishnava philosophy, if we have not understood Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnuna Amanina Mana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari, if we have not understood Na Dhanam Na Janam Na Sundarim Kavitamva Jagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shware Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahaituki Tvai, if we have not understood and inculcated these very, very important principles, these are not details, these are principles. If we have not imbibed these principles, if we are not following these principles, it is such a deadly combination, my dear friends. Because we have influence over others, we have power, like Vena, and we have a distorted philosophical understanding, like Vena. And with the combination of these two, we can create havoc in our lives and in the lives of others. And even if we don't have power, if we have the power to influence someone who has power, we can create great calamity. We see that in Ramayana, how Manthara was overcome by evil. She personally had no power, no influence. But she influenced Kaikeyi, who had some influence. And when Kaikeyi became influenced, she used that some influence on Maharaj Dasharath, who had a lot of influence. And by keeping the gun on Dasharath Maharaj's shoulders, she shot the weapon and created so much damage. So my dear friends, we have to be very cognizant, very much aware and careful of this fact that misunderstanding of philosophy, not imbibing the Vaishnava principles of Vaishnava Seva, keeping Krishna and his devotees in the center, being humble, being respectful, not expecting respect for oneself, not being after followers, money, sensual enjoyment, fame, not being after this. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Unless we constantly remind ourselves of these essential principles and we try to imbibe them in our character, as time goes by, my dear friends, we will become more and more dangerous to the Krishna conscious society. Because just by being around, because devotees are thinking that we are chanting 16 rounds, just by being around, as time goes by and more newer and newer devotees come, which they will come, they are going to look up to us, considering us senior devotees. So with that power of influence, if we have improper Vaishnava behavior, improper Vaishnava culture in us, Srimad Bhagavatam in this chapter is telling our story. We become like King Vena. And then everything will be in vain, whatever we do. So we have to be very careful. King Vena continues. Now see what he is going to say. It's very horrifying. Vishnur Virincho Girisha Indravayur Yamoravihi Parajanyo Dhanada Somaha Chitir Agnir Apampatihi Ete Chanye Chavibhudha Prabhavo Varashapayoho Dehe Bhavanti Nripatehe Sarvadeva Mayo Nripaha. He is saying, Sarva Deva Mayo Nripa. I am the king, Nripa, and Sarva Deva Mayo. I am the embodiment of all the devatas. Hare Krishna. Translation and purport. Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, Vayu, the master of air, Yama, the superintendent of death, the sun god, the director of rainfall, Kuver, the treasurer, the moon god, the predominating deity of the earth, Agni, the fire god, Varun, the lord of water, and all others who are great and competent to bestow benedictions or to curse, all abide in the body of the king. For this reason, the king is known as the reservoir of all demigods, who are simply parts and parcels of the king's body. So again here, my dear friends, King Vena is saying that Vishnu, Brahmaji, Shivaji, Indra, Vayu, Agni, Kuver, Varun, all these devatas and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu also, King Vena is saying, they are all residing in my body, and therefore You should only serve me. They are my parts and parcel, he says. They are my parts and parcels. So again, see how he is misusing the philosophy that actually Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamaya Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, that the living entities are my parts and parcels. Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Mataha Sarvam Pravartate. Everything comes from me, Krishna says. Everything emanates from me. But also it is mentioned elsewhere in the scriptures that the king is the representative of Lord Vishnu. King is the representative of the devatas. Why representative? Because the king is supposed to be Rajarshi. The king is supposed to be a very sincere, dedicated, exalted and advanced devotee of Krishna. And the king is supposed to guide everyone on the path of Krishna consciousness. And the king is supposed to accept the position of a ruler on behalf of the real ruler, who is Krishna. Therefore, the king is a representative of Krishna. The king is not Krishna. But here, Maharaj Vena, see how he is distorting the actual philosophy and giving a upa siddhanta, giving a wrong conclusion. He's saying, distorting this philosophy and saying that actually all of them are residing in me, therefore all you have to do is serve me. Just like in Srimad Bhagavatam it is taught that if you water yatha taror mula, you water the roots of a tree, the entire tree becomes nourished, and that root is Krishna. That root is Krishna. The root of the bhakti tree is Krishna or Nityananda Prabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maharaj Vena is taking that Siddhanta, that Tattva Siddhanta, and distorting it and giving Apa Siddhanta and saying that I am that root. If you satisfy me, then everybody will be satisfied. When Draupadi gave that little piece of rice and shak, vegetable leaf to Krishna, Krishna became completely satisfied, and because Krishna was satisfied, Vam Tushto Jagat Tushta. By Krishna becoming satisfied, the entire creation became satisfied, including Durvas Muni and his thousands of followers. But Maharaj Vena is distorting this philosophy and giving a false philosophy by saying that if you satisfy me, then Vishnu, Brahma, Shivji, Agni, Vayu, Varun, they will all be satisfied because they are all my parts and parcels. This is such a bogus philosophy. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, there are many demons who think of themselves as the supreme and present themselves as the directors of the sun, moon and other planets. This is all due to false pride. Similarly, King Vena developed the demonic mentality and presented himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such demons are numerous in this age of Kali, and all of them are condemned by great sages and saintly persons. Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada is a very, very powerful acharya, and he doesn't compromise. And very clearly Srila Prabhupada is saying here that in Kali Yuga, this mentality is very common. And what is the mentality of Vena? That everyone should serve me. I am the center of the universe. My dear friends, if we analyze, actually I can speak for myself. I am infected by this disease called as Vena. Because if we think that others should respect me because I am senior, or we think ourselves more advanced than others and therefore others should offer respect to me, then we are infected by the mentality of Vena. And Srimad Bhagavatam is taking the time to to describe the story of Maharaj Vena, because there are essential lessons from this story. Sukhdev Goswami knows that time is running out for Maharaj Parikshit. So Sukhdev Goswami very expertly chose very, very essential historical stories that he had heard from Vyasadeva, which carry very, very essential message for all of us and for all time to come. So if some story is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to understand it must carry great value and great meaning to our lives today in the 21st century. So we have to deeply analyze when Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us the story of Maharaj Vena, what can we learn from this? Maharaj Vena represents the tendency of sense gratification, selfish sense gratification. Sense gratification that is completely separated from Krishna's transcendental sense gratification. Sense gratification that is divorced from Vaishnava Seva, from Hari Seva. So we have to analyze in our lives what things we are doing, what activities we are engaging in, which are not Krishna conscious, or which don't have a connection to Krishna consciousness. And we should genuinely try to reduce those activities. Of course, we want to be sad grihasthas. We want to be good grihasthas. All of us on this conference call, most of us are grihasthas. What is a sad grihastha? Who is a sad grihastha? Maharaj Vena also was a grihastha, but he is not a sad grihastha. He is not a good grihastha. It's called grihastha ashram. Our house is called ashram, where we take ashray of Krishna. We take shelter of Krishna and we serve Krishna. That is called ashram. If that A of ashray is not there, then it becomes shram. Shrama eva hi kevalam. It is simply useless endeavor. Everything is going to be destroyed in due course of time. And time is Krishna, kalosmi. We may think that we are leaving a nice financial legacy for our next generation, for our children, grandchildren. But all that is going to be destroyed, my dear friends. Once there was a very famous atheist. He would conduct public program and he would publicly challenge. I challenge that there is no God. There is no creator. Nobody is in control of this universe. There is no God. And if there is God, I, standing here publicly, challenge God. Kill me right now. Make me drop dead right now. Because I don't believe in you. Make me drop dead right now. Kill me right now. If you cannot kill me, if you cannot challenge me, then you don't
exist. जिस व्यक्ति से बात कर रहे हैं, उन्होंने आपके कॉल को
you would challenge publicly that there is no God. If there is God, come and kill me. I told you there is no God. If there was a God, he would have killed me. He would have attacked me. You see, there is no God. And similarly, the communists also,
in some countries, they would challenge. They would challenge.
Prabhuji?
This kind of mentality is possible.
Hare Krishna, can everybody mute their phones? Especially when somebody joins in, their phones are always unmute and the speaker's voice we cannot hear. So please unmute your phone.
And Prabhuji, we cannot hear you. You just come closer to the phone.
Hare Krishna. Is it better now, Mataji?
Yes,
Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So what these communists would do in recent times, through their political maneuvering, they would create artificial famine, artificial shortage of food. They would withhold the grains and food from the common people. And they would just give it to the military. And when people were starving for food, they would go to the people and they would stand with loudspeakers in their hands on trucks. They would go to the villages and they would challenge. Do you believe in God? Then come on, pray to God. Ask Him for your daily bread. Ask Him for food. Come on, pray. Let us see if God gives you food. And these faithful people would pray and they would get no food because the food was in the custody of this evil government who are just like King Vena, atheistic. And then the communist leaders would tell them, now pray to us for food. You're hungry, your wife is hungry, your children are starving, they are malnourished. Come on, pray to us. Pray to me, come on, pray to me. Beg me for food, pray to me for food. And they would, poor people, they would pray, oh great communists, please give us food. And they would smile, yes, we will give you. And they would open the truck and give them free distribution of bread and other food items, fruits and everything. And then they would tell him, see, you prayed to God, nothing happened. You prayed to us, we instantly fulfilled your desires. So who is greater, God or your government? The poor people would become confused. And they would say, if you want food, then you must follow what we say. Stop this worship of God and just serve the government. We are the supreme. We are taking care of you. God is not taking care of you. We are taking care of you. And in this way, there are so many atheistic countries which are communist. And their devotion to God, Krishna consciousness, is not allowed. So this is how through these people, King Vena still lives. Still lives in Kali Yuga. He's flourishing. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada went to Russia where he was not allowed to preach. He went there and he was there only for a few days. But in those few days, he planted the seed of Krishna consciousness. And now Russia has one of the most thriving, most wonderful, vibrant congregations in the whole world. Even Ukraine. And then Prabhupada instructed his dear disciple Tamal Krishna Goswami to do the same in China. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj went to China. And there are hundreds and hundreds and thousands of devotees in China now. It's so wonderful. Russia and China, which were the most, the strictest communist countries where religion was not allowed, against so many difficulties, devotees have gone in the kingdoms of King Vena's of Kali Yuga. And they have preached the pure Siddhanta of Gaur Nitaya, pure Siddhanta of Krishna consciousness. And thereby they have saved so many people from going to hell. Yudhishthir Maharaj was wondering, when he saw that Shishupal, who was blaspheming Krishna, when Krishna killed him with his Sudarshan Chakra, in the presence of all the rishis, all the kings and everyone, the soul of Shishupal entered the lotus foot of Krishna. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was very surprised. He says that how is it that Shishupal got liberation, got mukti, even though he was so against you, he was so critical of you, he was so envious of you. On the other hand, kings like Maharaj Vena, they were condemned to hell
hellish life after death. So why Shishupal got such mercy? So our acharyas explain, it is because Shishupal somehow or the other was very Krishna conscious. Even though it was in a negative way, but he was very Krishna conscious. Narad Muni replies that Gopya kamad bhayat kamso dveshaishchaidyadyo nirpa. He says that Gopya kamad, the gopis of Vrindavan attained perfection, attained the mercy of Krishna through their intense kamana, their intense desire, their transcendental spiritual lust for Krishna. They became perfect. Gopya kamad bhayat kamso. And Kamsa became perfect out of his fear for Krishna. He was always thinking of Krishna. Yena kena prakarena manha Krishna niveshayat. Rupa Goswami says, somehow or the other we should think of Krishna. Krishna must enter our consciousness somehow or the other. Favorable or unfavorable. Of course, for devotees it is anukul lena Krishna anu shilanam bhakti ruttama. It is always, it should be anukul, favorable bhakti. But even if it is unfavorable, Krishna is so kind, so merciful, that he still elevates us. So, Gopya kamat bhayat kamso. Kamsa became perfect out of his great fear of Krishna. Dveshta is chaidyadayo nirpa. That the king of the Chedi dynasty, means Shishupal, he became perfect by dvesh. He got Krishna's mercy through his envy. Because he was envious of Krishna. So that Krishna was there in his life. Always thinking of Krishna. Always criticizing Krishna. Always saying, Krishna is like that. Krishna is like that. Krishna is ranchod. Krishna is this. Krishna is thief of butter. Krishna is this. Krishna is that. Krishna doesn't have proper varna and ashram. You know, he's actually a cowherd boy. He's Vaishya. But in Dwarka, he has become a Kshatriya. What is this nonsense? So he would criticize, but for criticizing, he had to think of Krishna. He had to think of qualities of Krishna. He had to think of pastimes of Krishna. Unknowingly, he's thinking about the Gocharan Leela when he calls him a Vaishya. Unknowingly, he's thinking of Krishna's beautiful, sweet pastimes where he steals butter from the house of the gopis when he's calling him Makhanchor. Unknowingly, he's thinking of Krishna's marriage to Rukmini and Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka when he's calling him Ranchor. So he's, and to criticize also he has to take Krishna's name. Krishna is like that, Krishna is like that, Krishna did this, Krishna did that. But for criticism also he has to chant the name of Krishna. So through his, although he was envious, but because the envy was directed towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, Shishupal also became perfect. So Gopya kamat bhayat kamso dveshas chaidyadyo nripa. Sambandhad Vrishnayad Snehad Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam Vibho. He says that, and the Vrishnis became perfect through their Sambandha with you. The Dwarkavasis have attained perfection by their relationship with Krishna. Because they consider Krishna as their ruler, they consider Krishna as their husband, they consider Krishna as their father, they consider Krishna as their grandfather, they consider Krishna as their friend, as their very powerful ruler, as their lord, as their master, as Dwarkadhish. So they are related, they are in Krishna's family, they are Yadavas. So, Vrishni Sambandhad, and then Snehad Yuyam. And Narad Muni is telling, Yuyam means you, he's telling Yudhishthira Maharaj that you have become perfect out of your sneha, out of your love, out of your affection for your cousin Krishna. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj had this protective, because he was older than Krishna, he had this protective, brotherly attitude towards Krishna. He had a lot of affection for Krishna. Lot of affection for Krishna. When Durvas Muni came, when they were in Vanvas and they had no food, Yudhishthira and all the Pandavas and of course Draupadi Devi, they prayed to Krishna. After the when Krishna would visit Yudhishthir Maharaj in Indraprastha for some time, Yudhishthir Maharaj was ruling at Indraprastha, and Krishna, by telling Maya, he got that very beautiful palace constructed in Indraprastha for the Pandavas, headed by Yudhishthir Maharaj. And Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra, they were all living in Hastinapur. So there were two kingdoms, Hastinapur ruled by the Kauravas and Indraprastha ruled by the Pandavas. So when Krishna would visit Indraprastha to meet his dear devotees, the Pandavas, from Dwarka, Krishna would come every now and then to associate with Draupadi, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Bhimsen, Arjun, Nakul, Sahadev. And he would stay with them in Indraprastha. And they would have wonderful pastimes. And after some time, after staying for a few weeks, months, Krishna would return back to Dwarka. When Krishna would return to Dwarka, out of his sneha, out of his great affection for Krishna, Yudhishthira Maharaj would become very anxious. Hey Krishna, hey Yadav, you have come here only with your chariot. You will be going from Hastinapur to Dwarka. It is such a long journey. There are so many kings and kingdoms that you have to traverse through. What if somebody attacks you? What if some tribals attack you? What if some king who is envious attacks you? No, no, no. I cannot let you go alone. Sometimes he would send Arjun with Krishna. Hey Arjun, hey Krishna Sakha, you go. You go with Krishna to Dwarka. Escort him. And take our royal army also from Indraprastha. And sometimes he would send one Akshay Honi army with Krishna as royal escorts. That Krishna, when you go to Dwarka, take my army with you for protection. So this is sneha. This is care. Yudhishthir really cared for Krishna. All the Pandavas, they really loved Krishna. So Narad Muni is telling Yudhishthir, sneha dyuyam, that all of you brothers, you have attained perfection by your sneha for Krishna. And bhaktya vayam vibho. And O vibho, O great king, Yudhishthir, we, the general devotees, Narad Muni is talking about himself and all of us. Maybe not us, but all the great devotees. Narad Muni is saying, and we, as far as we are concerned, bhaktya vayam, we have attained perfection through our bhakti. So or any of the these above ways, if you can engage in Krishna consciousness, either through intense desire, intense lalyam, intense kaam, kamana for Krishna, intense transcendental spiritual lust for Krishna, like the gopis, fear, like Kamsa, envy, like Shishupal and Dantavakra, or a feeling of relationship, Atmiyata, Sambandha, like the Vrishnis and Yadavas, or Sneha, an intense, strong, condensed affection like you have, O Pandavas, or simple bhakti like we simple general devotees, then we can all attain perfection. Because Krishna is like that. You come in contact with Krishna, you become elevated. Gopya kamat bhayat kamso dvesha shaityadyo nripa sambandhat vrishnaya snehat yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. This beautiful verse is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto. Just before the episode of Prahlad Maharaj begins. It's very beautiful. Very, very beautiful. So somehow or the other, we have to control this mentality of vena, of keeping ourselves in the center, and instead we should keep Krishna in the center, my dear friends. And that is what we can learn from these four verses that we read today. Vena is described in Srimad Bhagavatam because we can learn a lot from him. Whenever we want to eat that food without offering it to Krishna, we are becoming overpowered by vena. Every time we expect that some devotee should offer us obeisances or say dandavat pranam to us because we are senior and we are expecting respect for ourselves, we are infected by the tendency of Vena. Every time we want some fame, distinction, adoration, appreciation for us, without transferring it to Guru Gauranga, we are infected with the tendency of Vena. So a lot of lessons to be learned. We should understand the Siddhanta properly from Guru Sadhu Shastra. We should not distort the philosophy to suit our purposes. Sometimes we are having disagreement with devotees, and so expertly we use Krishna conscious philosophy to convince them. Like, I will give one example. There is one devotee, and he was teaching some philosophy which is very wrong. Very wrong. He was teaching the philosophy of guru groupism in ISKCON. That my guru is the best, and therefore everyone should take initiation from my guru only. He was preaching this to the devotees who were under his care. And then one devotee from that group, he came and he was very confused, and he was asking me what to do. You know, nothing else is allowed, no opportunity is given to hear from other gurus in ISKCON, and I feel the whole environment very suffocating. What should I do? So I advised this devotee to read Srila Prabhupada's books, and to follow his heart. If he feels attracted to a particular speaker, you know, why not hear? Any bona fide speaker, why not hear? And I advised him to protect himself from this person, because clearly what he was teaching was not pleasing to his guru and to Srila Prabhupada. It's a wrong philosophy to do guru groupism, because ISKCON is a big family, and all the ISKCON gurus, the ISKCON guru varga, they are all serving Srila Prabhupada. They are all servants of Srila Prabhupada, who is our founder acharya. And there should be no guru groupism. We respect all the GBC, we respect all the gurus. And at the same time, following our heart, we surrender to one Diksha Guru. But we cannot make it mandatory for others also to surrender to our guru only, just because they are attending our programs. So I advised this devotee, and I told him that, you know, you guard yourself, you be careful, because this philosophy is not right. And you should accept that spiritual guide who is following Srila Prabhupada properly. And this devotee used his intelligence, and he found another spiritual guide and started attending that Bhakti Vriksha. But when that Bhakti Vriksha leader, who was engaging in guru groupism, came to know, he called up this bhakta and chastised him and told him, you have left my group. This is Vaishnava Aparad. Haven't you read 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? There is a story of that lizard who in the previous life was King Nriga. Nriga became a lizard because he offended the Brahman. And I am also Brahman initiated. I am also a Brahman. Because you are offending me, you will become a lizard in your next life. How dare you leave my group? How dare you go to another group? So this devotee again got scared and he came to me. He called me. That Prabhuji, aisa curse kiya hai mereko. This devotee has cursed me like this, that I will become a lizard. Yeah, who is Nriga, Prabhu? Can you tell me? So again, I tried my best to reassure him and told him that you should understand the Siddhanta properly, and you should read Srila Prabhupada's books, hear Srila Prabhupada's lectures, and the lectures and books of our ISKCON Guru Varga. And you should discuss this with the local temple leaders very confidentially, privately, and ask them to take the appropriate action. But you should protect yourself, and you should associate with devotees who are properly representing Srila Prabhupada. Like that, I reassured him. But I am telling this example, my dear friends, to illustrate how we as devotees can misuse the philosophy that we have learned and use it for our own interest. for our own self-aggrandizement. It is so dangerous.
So dangerous.
So we have to guard against this tendency of King Vena, and we have to carry on in our bhakti with humility, love for each and every one of us, and compassion. Because if we are adopting the tendency of Vena in our behavior, then we are not being compassionate. Vena was cruel, he was not compassionate. And we have to become compassionate, not cruel. So these are some of the thoughts I wanted to share. Almost 1 hour. So if there are any questions or comments or corrections, we can take that. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice class, very nice examples. Thank you so much. No questions, but excellent class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji. My humble obeisances to you. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
हरे कृष्ण नंदवत प्रणाम शिल प्रभात की जय गुरु महाराज की जय थैंक यू सो मच प्रभु जी फॉर सच अ ब्यूटीफुल क्लास सो आई हैव वन क्वेश्चन प्रभु जी
यस माता जी
सो हाउ टू गेट रिड ऑफ दिस फॉल्स प्राइड एंड एवरीथिंग प्रभु हाउ डू वी नो दैट वी आर गेटिंग दैट प्राइड इन अस हाउ डू वी कंट्रोल दैट
हरे कृष्ण Mataji, can you please introduce yourself?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, this is Vinaya.
Hare Krishna Vinaya Mataji, my humble obeisances to you. Thank you very much, Mataji, for this very wonderful question. So Mataji's question is, how do we come to know that we have become proud? Or how do we come to know that we have become careless? So Vinaya Mataji, I would like to, because all of you on Bhakti Sangha group, you are like family. We have been associated for, almost 2.5 years now. And I consider all of you very close to my heart and very dear friends, spiritual friends. And I love all of you very much. So I will share something from my heart. I have not shared this. It only happened 1 week ago. But it will explain. It will give the answer to your question. It will take me at least 10 minutes to tell this story. So after that, we will run out of time. So we'll stop there. But this is a very nice question. And I had one very... literally a very deep, deep realization about this. When I say deep, I actually mean deep realization about this, literally. So I will share this with all of you. So exactly a week before today, I have a 6-year-old daughter who is just going to turn 7 next month. Her name is Maithili. I named her after Mother Sita. So I have 2 children. Gopal is my son and Maithili is our daughter. Gopal is older. I taught him swimming when I was in Bombay before coming to America. But I wanted Maithili to learn swimming. So now she's 6, almost 7 years old. So I thought it is a good time to teach her swimming. But in India, I could just take Gopal to a swimming pool and just teach him. Here, I didn't know, I don't have membership to any swimming pool. So I thought, let me enroll him in a swimming class. Enroll her, Maithili, in a swimming class. So there is a very reputed swimming class close to our house here in Atlanta. They have been in business for more than half a century. 65 years they have been in business. And they have produced many national champions and even Olympic champions from this swimming academy. They have 3 swimming pools, indoor swimming pools, heated,
and very professionally run. They are doing tremendous business, very popular. And a lot of our neighbors' kids also go to this swim academy. So I enrolled Maithili to learn swimming. So every once a week, she has a half an hour class. So 1 week ago, I took her. It was only her third lesson. I had enrolled her just a few weeks ago. It was her third lesson. So I took her. And what I was doing in the previous lessons is, so there are three pools, and each pool is divided into separate compartments, and there are classes, swim lessons going on in each section of the swimming pools. And each section has four students. And each swimming pool is divided into four areas. So there are 16 students in one swimming pool, and four students per class. And they are divided based on their ability to swim. So Maithili was in the junior most group, kids who don't know anything about swimming. They have just started. And there were four kids, and there are supposed to be two lifeguards. Not lifeguards, two swimming teachers who teach them. So there are two coaches per four students. And her one of the coaches fell sick that day, so she did not come. So there was only one coach with the four children. But this particular swim lesson can be taught by one coach also. But they have to keep an eye on all the four children at all times, because the swimming pool is 4.5 feet deep, and Maithili is not 4.5 feet tall. So potentially she can easily drown. She is not even 4 feet. So the lesson was going on. And normally, I would carry my bead bag, which I keep in my car, and I would sit there and I would chant some extra rounds while she is doing her swimming. Half an hour can easily chant 4 or 5 rounds. So I would sit there and chant some extra rounds. That's what I did in the previous three classes. Now, this class I came, I sat there, the lesson started, and I immediately started looking for my bead bag, and I realized I don't have my beads. I forgot my bead bag in the car. So I thought, let me quickly go to the car and bring the bead bag so I can chant. Actually, parents are not even required to be there around the swimming pool. There is a separate room for parents where they can sit. There is Wi-Fi. There are tables for your laptop or computer. You can sit, do your work while the lesson is going on. Because when the kids are in the pool, they are responsibility of the swimming teachers. But I would always sit there because my mother told me that in Maithili's chart, it is said that till she is certain years of age, she has danger from water. So when I enrolled her, she told me, "Arey abhay, tila paanyapasun dhoka hai, nako taku tila." She told me in Marathi that, you know, she has danger from water. Don't enroll her in swimming. I told her, "Mummy, don't worry. You know, it's a very good swimming class, and I have done the research, and this is the right age to learn. I had taught Gopal when he was 4 years old. Maithili is 6 now. It's high time she learns. It's an important life skill. Everybody should know swimming. I also learned when I was Maithili's age. So I will let her learn. Don't worry." So mummy's words were always in my mind. So I thought, no, let me sit here. I don't want to go. Then I thought, you know, but I can do 4 or 5 rounds. So let me go quickly. I'll come back in like 2-3 minutes. I will come back in. So I almost got up to go, but then something in my heart said that, no, just wait here. You chant like that only, without the bead, chant in your mind, and don't count it, but stay here. Look at my thing. I thought like that, and suddenly my phone rang. So it was my friend, Dilip Prabhu. He called me, he was asking something, and I was talking to him on the phone. So I was a little distracted, but not very distracted. I was still, you know, my thing was still within my eyesight. And this swimming teacher, he took Maithili to one end of the swimming pool, and he told her to hold on to the side wall of the swimming pool, and he came to get the other three children. So she was all alone in that corner of the swimming pool, and I was talking to Dilip Prabhu, and I was talking, and suddenly I realized that Maithili is almost in the middle of the pool, and only her hands are visible, and you know, she's shaking her hands vigorously, and she's drowning. I couldn't, for 1 second, my dear friends, I couldn't believe. Because in the 60 years history of this swim academy, there has never been an accident.
they were telling me when I enrolled, they were telling me their, you know, safety record, track record. Literally for 1 second, I could not believe that this is possible. It just didn't sink in. And then immediately, you know, my instincts kicked in and I realized that she's drowning. And I looked at the coach and he was on the other side of the pool with the other three children. And Maithili was several feet, you know, away from the edge of the swimming pool, in the middle of the water, 4.5 feet deep water, and only her hands were visible. I thought this cannot be, like, she cannot be joking. This cannot be a game or some exercise. She's drowning. I just screamed, Maithili, and I ran around. I had to run around the pool because she was on the other end. And I just, she was around three feet away from the closest edge wall of the swimming pool. And I just leaned over. Half my body was in the pool. And I just grabbed her with my right hand. And I don't even remember what I did with the phone. I threw it somewhere. I just screamed, Maithili. And I put my hand under her armpit. And I just pulled her out of the swimming pool. And she was, you know, she had swallowed water. She could not breathe. She was, I still remember that terror in her eyes. When I pulled her out of the water, when she looked at me, there was such terror. Atanka netram, like the same Damodarashtakam. There was such terror in her eyes when she looked at me, and you know, she could not breathe for some time. And I patted her on her back, upper back. I hugged her, embraced her, and then she started breathing. And she was okay. You know, she hugged me and, you know, I embraced her tight. I looked around and nobody even noticed. The lifeguard was still on the other side with the three children. And parents were looking at me. Some parents who were there, they were looking at me with dropped jaws. What just happened? And I just, you know, picked up Maithili. And then there was one supervisor who was not in the pool, but just she was just walking around. She was supposed to, like, keep an overview, watchful eye on everybody. She came and she said, what happened? She asked me. What happened? Because she saw I was half wet and I was working that day, so I was in hospital scrubs. So half my clothes were wet and, you know, Maithili was, I was right there next to the pool. Maithili was in my arms. She said, what happened? I told her Maithili had drowned. And then she said, oh, okay. And then the lifeguard came. Oh, I'm sorry. And he just took Maithili and, you know, the lesson continued. And I was completely shocked. What did just happen? And I was just thinking that if I would have gone to the car for a few minutes, you know, Krishna knows what would have happened. And I felt so glad that I did not outsource my parent responsibility to someone else when she was in such a dangerous place like a swimming pool. Water, fire, you know, these are very dangerous, tall heights. These are, you know, we call them Pancha Mahabhut. They are like five great forces of nature. We have to be very careful. The Krishna's energy is very powerful. I was wondering what would have happened. And after the class, you know, some parents who were there, they were American. You know, they have grown up in this culture. They told me, this is unacceptable what happened to your daughter. We are disenrolling our kids from this swim academy. And we suggest you also do that. And then they went and they just told that, you know, we are disenrolling our children. This is nonsense. The girl had just drowned and the teacher did not even realize it. And they disenrolled their kids. And then I also, you know, I told them I need some time to think. I'm too shocked right now. So I took Maithili home and I thought about it. I discussed with my wife, Radha Bhav. And then I also went there next day and I disenrolled her. That, you know, we don't want this risk. Next time I'll only teach her, you know, swimming myself. So why I shared this story, my dear friends, is because this is very much related to Vinaya Mataji's question. So there are some lessons we can learn upfront from this. One is that we have to be very careful with so many things like driving fast, tall heights, water, fire. These are dangerous things. You know, we have to be very careful with these things. And it is our responsibility as parents to keep a very close, watchful eye over our children. We cannot outsource their safety to others because others don't love them like we do. So it is our responsibility to take care of our children. We have to watch them like hawks. We have to, you know, therefore chanting has to be done in the morning before the children wake up. And, you know, we cannot be distracted. It is our service to watch them, to care for them, to take care of them, to be there for them. It is our service. It is as important as other services that we do. Krishna has given these children to us to take care of. We cannot be distracted in their service. This is what I learned. And now spiritually, in relationship to Vinaya Mataji's question, just see, this world is Bhava Sagar. It's like a vast body of water where we are drowning. And bhakti means to learn how to swim. Govinda Ghosh says, Bhajahure mana Shri Nanda Nandana Abhaya Charanara Vindare Durlabha Manava Janama Satsange Tarahu E Bhava Sindhure. Tarahu E Bhava Sindhure. This is a Bhava Sindhu. This is a vast body of water where we are drowning. And Satsange. It is Satsang of devotees. Satsang, Sadhu Sangha, which is going to help us cross and swim across this vast body of water, this Bhava Sagar. So when we are learning how to swim, just like Maithili was learning how to swim, when we are learning how to swim, although there is a process, there are Shiksha Gurus, there are counselors, there are mentors, spiritual advisors, there are association of devotees, everything is there. But it is our bhakti. After all, we cannot outsource the safety of our bhakti to others. Just like we cannot outsource the safety of our children to others, we cannot outsource the safety and the life of our bhakti, thinking that others will take care. And we can be negligent, we can be careless, we can be distracted going out to the car or reading. What if I was writing an email? What if I was typing a text message when this accident happened, my dear friends? Or what if the network was not good and I would have stepped out to talk? Or I would have gone to the car to get the beads? Or I would have gone to the restroom in that half an hour that I was supposed to be there? What would have happened? So we cannot outsource the safety and security of our own bhakti. We cannot outsource the health of our own bhakti to others. We have to take responsibility, we have to take ownership, and we have to be alert. Just like a parent has to be alert when the child is in the swimming pool. Another thing is, when Maithili drowned, it's not like they show in the movies where she was yelling, help, help. Nothing. It doesn't happen like that in real life. Because once the water goes in your mouth and lungs, you cannot make any noise, you cannot speak, you cannot scream. You just go down. And I told the supervising lifeguard, because they have cameras there, I told her, please look at the video footage and tell me what happened. Because I just saw her drowning. I don't know what happened preceding to that. So she, on the same day, within few hours, she looked at the footage from different angles, from different security cameras, and she called me back. And she told me that, the teacher had told her to hold on to the railing, the sidewall of the swimming pool, and he went to the other side of the pool to get the other three kids. And she lost her grip because her hands were wet. She lost the grip on the wall. And she came inside, and then she tried to kick and, move her hands to swim back. But unfortunately, it looks like she accidentally kicked the wall, and she got pushed several feet away from the wall, deeper into the pool. And then she struggled for a few seconds, and she just went down. She drowned. She told me, you were right. She had drowned. And so it happened so suddenly, so silently. Similarly, my dear friends, similarly, Vinaya Mataji, our spiritual fall down can also happen very silently. Others may not come to know. We may be doing something wrong, carelessly in our own personal life. Others may not know. And that can destroy our spiritual life suddenly. So your question was, how do we guard against it? How do we come to know? The only way you will come to know, or the only way we will come to know, is if we are extremely vigilant and careful. Alert. Krishna consciousness means we have to be alert. Just like a parent has to be alert what is happening to the child. Not thinking that, others will take care, the lifeguard will take care, that swimming coach will take care, other children will take care, other parents will take care. No. It required a parent
to take ownership and run and try best to rescue. Similarly, it is our bhakti, it is our spiritual life. We love everyone, we take guidance from everyone, but that is not a substitute for our own endeavor. Damodar Leela teaches us there is our hard work, our effort, our endeavor, and mercy of Guru and Krishna. So that mercy is there, but Krishna wants us to be vigilant. Krishna wants us to be alert. So we have to introspect and analyze the inner environment of our heart. Am I becoming proud? Am I acting egoistically? Am I getting too much lusty thoughts? Am I getting angry too easily? And if so, then the scriptures give us the treatment. Hari Naam Aushadi. We have to go deeper in our sadhana. We have to associate more, hear more, take help from spiritual guides. But how will we realize that we are going down? How will we realize that we are drowning? How will we realize that instead of swimming, we are going underwater? Is only if we are vigilant. We have to be alert. We have to be very conscious, very vigilant, very careful. So these were some of the thoughts that I wanted to share with you, Mataji. I hope it helps. Hare Krishna. Please pray for us, Mataji. We should pray for each other. I pray for all of you, and I beg all of you for your prayers and blessings also. Hare Krishna. Padam padam yad vipadam. There are danger at every step in this material world. So, you know, after this incident happened, my dear friends, every time I worship my Shaligram Shilas, when I see my Matsya Shaligram Shila, I think, hey Matsya Dev, just like you rescued the ship of Satyavrat Maharaj, you have rescued Maithili. When I look at Kurma Dev, I tell him, hey Kurma Shaligram Shila, just like when the churning rod Mandhar Mountain was sinking to the bottom of the milk ocean, you came as Kurma Dev and you lifted it up. Similarly, when my Maithili was drowning, you saved her. When I look at my Varaha Shaligram Shila, I say, hey Varaha Dev, just like when Bhudevi had sunk to the bottom of Garbhodaka ocean, you went and you brought her up and you rescued her. Similarly, when my daughter Maithili had drowned, it was your mercy that saved her, that brought her up. So now every time I see my... these are the Shaligram Shilas that, probably I was not paying so much attention to them. But after this incident, my appreciation, my love for them has increased so much. Now every day I read the Dashavatar Stotra to my Shaligram Shilas of Jaidev Goswami. Pralaya payodhi jale dhritavana sivedam vihitava hitra charitra makhedam keshava drita meena sharira jaya jagadisha hare. My appreciation for these Dashavatar, for all these merciful incarnations of Krishna who come to save. Just like when I look at my Narsimha Shaligram Shila, just like you saved Prahlad from the ocean of the Daityas, you saved my daughter from the ocean, from the water, the pool where she was drowning. It was too deep for her, but you saved her. So similarly, my appreciation for my Shaligram Shila, I'm just sharing my heart with you, my dear friends. My appreciation for Krishna, appreciation for my deities has increased so much. I was thinking, Krishna, I was telling my Shilas that if Maithili would have drowned, I would have been so heartbroken. And then I was thinking that, the cards that she had made for Mother's Day, for Radha Bhav, who would give them today to her? That Gaurarti that we did would have been the last Gaurarti of Maithili. Oh, that Narsimharti we did was last. Oh, that Hare Krishna, Papa, she told me, was the last Hare Krishna she uttered. I was thinking like this, that life is so unpredictable, my dear friends. Durlabha Manava Janma. This Manava Janma is so durlabha, we have somehow or the other got it. We must utilize it completely, 100% in Krishna's service. 100% in Krishna's service. But when we get the sense of urgency, it doesn't mean that towards our children, we become very harsh and fanatic. That, death can come at any time. Come on, you chant now. From today, you chant. You must chant two rounds now, Maithili, because this happened. No, we cannot be fanatic with them. we can be conservative with ourselves, but with others we have to be liberal. We have to give them Krishna consciousness to the best of our ability so that they take it. But we should not make it so harsh and very strict with them that they develop an aversion for Krishna consciousness. So this urgency, sense of urgency, sense of ananya bhakti has to be cultivated internally. And using our intelligence, we have to give it to our children also. But not, you know, we become conservative with ourselves and conservative with others also. We don't have a right to do that. Otherwise, others will get, they will develop an aversion to Krishna consciousness. They will not take it up. So we have to use our intelligence with others and give it to them very tactfully, not by agitating them, but with ourselves. We should develop a sense of urgency, sense of complete dependence on Krishna, and this sense of 100% dedication to Krishna. Ai nanda tanuja king karam. What should I do? Tell me, Krishna, now. You have saved. You are the savior. Tell me, my life is yours. What can I do for you? How can I serve you? So an internal spirit of urgency and vigilance has to be developed. But with others, we have to be liberal, we have to be accommodating and understanding. But with ourselves, we must be strict. That is what I learned from this, Mataji. Just sharing my thoughts. I hope it helps. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for in detail explanation. And thank you so much for telling in the both the way, you know, even in the material way, in the spiritual way. And thank you so much, Prabhuji. And I'm so happy that Maitli is safe and it did not harm her. Jai Narsingha Dev, I'm really, really very, very happy, Prabhuji. And I just want to share my personal thing. Usually, always, my Prabhu is very, very thing about my daughter. She always says, like, you know, don't leave her even 1 second. I always call him, like, you know, why you are so much like that? We have to leave them, then they will learn. But now I understand, Prabhuji, why my husband is saying, you don't even allow me to go in somebody else's car even for 5 minutes. I don't know how that person is going to drive. I'm not going to, give my daughter to somebody else, you know. That is, if I drive, I have a confidence that he always tells me, and I always doesn't like that kind of thing. But now I really understand, Prabhuji, what he is meant for. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for sharing this. It was really eye-opening for me in both the ways, in spiritual and in material, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Vinaya Mataji. Thank you very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada, Jai Guru Gauranga.
Is there anybody having any question, any realizations? If there are no more questions and realizations, let me and offer the obeisances to the Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, once again. Vancha kalpa tarobhyasya kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavrindhi ki jai. Namaskarya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai. Kadadar Prabhuji ki jai.
Ananta koti vaishnavrindhi ki jai. Jai Srila Prabhupada.